Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God for our devotion concerning the Lord's Passion as it's connected to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is John chapter 19, and we read there verses 25 to 29. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, when Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he did not leave out a petition for material needs. Ever since our first parents fell into sin, after the fall, all people have needed food, clothing, and shelter, and other things. In describing all of those other things in his explanation to the fourth petition, Dr. Luther uses a figure of speech called a metonymy. A metonymy is a part for the whole. And Luther explains, daily bread includes everything we need for our bodily welfare. God had given all of these good things to Adam and Eve as part of perfect creation over which he said, "It is very good." And Adam and Eve recognized the source of all those good things. They were thankful to their Creator for those good things. But they didn't need them in the same sense that you and I need them. After the fall, we now need those things to sustain our bodies and our lives. And so Jesus included that petition so that we would now pray to him about those material things to enable us to now, even in sin, recognize their source and to be thankful for them. You may or may not have ever considered the material needs associated with other people or Jesus in connection with his passion. As we look more closely in this Word of God, we do see, though, that they're there and they're connected. Some material needs to sustain bodily welfare are connected to Jesus' passion. They're connected, first of all, to Jesus' mother. And so Jesus, even as he was suffering and dying, said to the disciple whom he loved, John, "Here is your mother." And to Mary, "Here is your son." So Mary had some bodily needs that needed taken care of. She would need her daily bread in the future. And Jesus also, toward the end of his passion on the cross, he needed something to strengthen him for those final moments when he would give up his life on the cross, and it would not be taken from him. And so he said, I thirst. A little bit better way to understand that, in this translation, it says, so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. We'll see in a minute that the better way to understand that is, after he had fulfilled all the Scripture, he said, I am thirsty. These two things, providing for the daily bread of his mother and quenching his own thirst toward the end of his life, are not only strong testimony to Jesus' true humanity, but they are also that connecting link between the Lord's passion and the Lord's prayer, particularly the fourth petition. It is because the Lord accomplished all the things that he came to do. It is because he fulfilled all of the Scriptures that he is able to be and is our Lord and Savior. And because he is our Lord and Savior, we may pray for and expect all the spiritual requests that we make in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And that's not any different for the one petition in the Lord's Prayer where we ask for daily bread, where we ask for food and drink, house and home, money and goods, godly and faithful leaders, good government, good weather, peace and order, faithful neighbors, and everything else in between that Luther mentions. Because of Jesus' passion, we call the God who gives us every good and perfect gift from above, our Father in heaven. Because of the passion of our Lord, we can go to our God and recognize he is the giver and receive the things that he gives with thankful hearts. It's interesting to me, I hope it is to you, that when we ask God for daily bread, which God gives us even without our asking, even to all the wicked, that these were things that Adam and Eve had in the perfection of creation. They ate, they drank, they didn't need clothing, they didn't need really anything else, and they actually didn't even really need to eat and drink to stay alive, food, because God had created them to be eternal. And in their perfect knowledge, they recognized the giver of those things. And in the perfect bliss of Eden, they received those gifts with thanksgiving. Nobody had to tell them to do that. Nobody had to curb their old Adam and motivate them by the gospel to know their God and to address him as our Father. But that is the blessing and the gift that you and I have as believers. And so God has worked in our hearts that knowledge now, after the fall, when we need food and drink to keep us alive, when we need clothing to hide our shame, like Adam and Eve did after they sinned against God, after we now need a roof over our heads and representatives in the church and the government and in the family as God's representatives, we need all of those things now. And so Jesus taught his church to pray for those things. Oh, he'll give them to us whether we ask for them or not. But he teaches us to pray for them as our way of saying, Father, we recognize every good and perfect gift comes from you, and it comes for Jesus' sake. We recognize that all those things that we need to sustain our bodies, and our lives, we're thankful for those things. And we know that you give them to us, and we're thankful for them because they come to us for the sake of our Savior Jesus, who took our sins to the cross, who bore our guilt, who suffered our condemnation and our punishment. Now we know by the Spirit to ask God that He would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Bread is the staff of life. Bread is that part of the whole. It represents everything that we need in life. It's a daily need. That means it's good, and so our necessities are something we need every day. But we also pray, today God gives us our daily needs. Enough for today, God tells us. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough to worry about itself. But I'll give you, I promise you, enough for today. Very rarely does God ever give us just enough for today, but that's the promise that we have, that we will have enough for today. Think back to Israel when they were traveling in the wilderness and God gave them the manna from heaven. That was their necessity. It wasn't fancy, but it was something that would nourish them and take care of them. He gave it to them daily, but He only gave them enough for today. And then the next day, enough for today, and the next day, enough for today, and so on, except you remember, before the Sabbath, He gave them 2 days so that they didn't have to gather bread on the Sabbath. We might say, in a very real way, and like we often hear people complain today, Israel was in a sense living from paycheck to paycheck. But rather being glad that they had enough in their paycheck till the next paycheck, which is a good thing, they were complaining and whining about only having enough for today. And then tomorrow, only having enough for today. We pray to our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread. We rely on you to provide what we need to sustain our bodies and lives. What we need to take care of our lives. And then Jesus, about 15 hours now, since the time He'd been arrested, more than 15 hours now, from the time Jesus had been arrested, He was dehydrated, lost a lot of blood, had been tortured, had been nailed to a cross, and when they first hung Jesus up on the cross, they offered Him a drink. Wine mixed with myrrh or gall, which was used as a sedative. It was used to numb the pain, to numb the mind of the person who was being crucified. You recall that Jesus refused that drink because Jesus wanted to be in full use of His faculties, fully aware and awake of what He was doing as He was suffering and dying for us there on the cross. And then from noon till 3, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered the eternal damnation in hell of every human being, even as His body physically remained on the cross. We could not even dare to try to imagine what that would have been like. His God forsook Him for those 3 hours. But then his father received him back. When Jesus took care of his mother, we notice that he said, "Dear woman, here is your son." Jesus did not by any means anything disrespectful. He was simply saying to Mary, and there were a lot of Marys at the foot of the cross. Mary is the Greek equivalent of Miriam, the sister of Moses. So there were a lot of girls and women named Miriam. But Jesus didn't refer to her as Mary. He referred to her as dear woman. Not in disrespect, but to show her that their earthly relationship was over. And the one that she saw now raised before her eyes was her Lord and her God and her Savior. And that is parallel now to what happens to Jesus when God forsakes him. Jesus could not, dare not. The Son of God could not, dare not call God his Father because he was forsaken, removed from his Father for our sins. But then the Father restored him to that relationship and also accepted him again as his son, as a true human being. And once again then, Jesus refers to God as his Father. And it was after those 3 hours that Jesus, knowing that he had done everything that was necessary to pay for sin, he had offered his innocent, perfect, obedient life and blood on the cross. He had suffered eternal damnation in hell. Everything that he had to do, that he had come to do, was complete. He had fulfilled all that the Scripture had said about him. And now, so that he would have the strength at the end to give up his life, he said, "I am thirsty." He had come so far in control. He was in complete control, and he was not about to die from something like dying of thirst. And so Jesus had this bodily need, this need to sustain his life so that he would be strong at the end and would be in control and give up his life when he was ready. And so one of the soldiers, in an act of mercy, went to his kit or to a jar. The soldiers all carried this cheap wine that sort of resembled vinegar, and put some on a sponge and stuck it on the end of a hyssop plant and held it up to Jesus' mouth so Jesus could get a good final drink of that wine. Hyssop plants are usually about hyssop stems are about 2-3 feet long. This is a pretty good indication they were able to get easily to Jesus' mouth. It's a pretty good indication that Jesus was probably only about 2 or 3 feet off the ground when he was crucified. Not likely up quite as high as some of the artists depict him. It's very possible that Mary was even able to hold on to Jesus and to hug his legs for a time while he was on the cross. But after Jesus received what he needed to sustain his body and life, when he cried out then, "It is finished," and when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," it was not the dying last gasp of a helpless man, but it was the strong, clear, and sure word that Jesus wanted people for centuries to hear. "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then Jesus gave up. his life. Jesus used material needs to sustain his body and life to the glory of God. He used those things to sustain his body so that he could use his body to serve his Father in the mission his Father had given him. That is why you and I pray, give us today our daily bread. That's why we want our bodies and our lives strengthened, so that you and I can go out and with our bodies serve our God with the things that he has given us to do. To serve God with our lives in the missions that he has given to us. To take his word out into the world. To love our neighbor. To love our God. The difference between us and unbelievers is not that God gives us our daily bread, and he doesn't give daily bread to them. The difference is that by the power of the Spirit, through our prayer, we recognize that God is the giver of those things, and we need that because of our natural belief that we're the ones that provide our daily bread, that we're the ones that take care of ourselves. And living in that delusion, we tend to be very ungrateful to God for what we have. As if those things were something that we gain or don't gain. But Jesus taught us in faith to pray. To pray in that recognition that he gives. To pray with thankfulness of heart, recognizing that we don't deserve those things, but we have them only by Christ. Jesus used the strengthening of his humanity and the passion on that humanity he suffered to accomplish the purposes for which God sent him. Our Father in heaven, graciously grant me the necessities I need every day, one at a time, and enable me with that recognition and thanksgiving to also serve you. Amen.